primetime appeal.
This is a humanitarian crisis.
Democrats unmoved.
Mr. President, end this shutdown.
Deputy Attorney General plans departure.
Rosenstein is expected to leave the Justice Department in the next few weeks.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. Donald Trump delivered a speech from the Oval Office, his first as president, to make the case for something he's talked about since the early days of his campaign for the office, a southern border wall. CBS's Major Garrett says it's the point of contention in a partial government shutdown.
A crisis of the heart and a crisis of the soul.
President Trump argued illegal immigration at the southern border hurts all Americans.
It strains public resources and drives down jobs and wages.
The president also made an emotional appeal as he mentioned the families of victims killed by illegal immigrants.
I've held the hands of the weeping mothers and embraced the grief-stricken fathers.
The president is rejecting these bipartisan bills which would reopen government.
In their rebuttal following the president, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said the debate over the wall should be separate so the government can reopen.
This president just used the backdrop of the Oval Office to manufacture a crisis, stoke fear, and divert attention from the turmoil in his administration.
From Hidalgo, Texas, along the Rio Grande, CBS's Maria Villarreal says the wall is a divisive issue.
Everybody here agrees they do want border security. What they don't want, the biggest difference is they do not want a border wall. So far, nearly a dozen or so communities here have passed resolutions against the border wall. However, I will say both Republicans and Democrats here in the Valley agree they do need more funds to support law enforcement and to handle the influx of migrants.
The partial government shutdown is entering day 19, and CBS's Nancy Cordes says House Democrats will begin passing bills designed to restore some funding.
Today, they're going to kick it off with the Treasury Department and the IRS so that refund checks can continue unabated. And then tomorrow, they'll vote to fund the Interior and Agriculture Departments so that food stamps and farm aid can resume. All of this, however, is a largely symbolic move because the Republican-led Senate has said it's not going to follow suit. It is sticking with the president.
I'm Vicky Barker.
Enough is enough.
Furloughed federal workers rallied to put a human face to the shutdown, like this North Carolina prison guard.
We put our lives on the line every day, yet we're not being compensated for that. Who would want to get up and go to work and not know when they're going to be paid?
Or this unpaid IRS worker.
This president's talking about months, years for something that I don't understand what it's supposed to do. Walls don't protect people. They never have.
Whether working without pay or sitting at home without pay, there's nothing partial about this shutdown to 800,000 federal employees.
I'm Jim Krasula. Spring planting is just around the corner, and many of the nation's farmers are having to wait on federal government loans to buy their seed. Peter Daniel is with the North Carolina Farm Bureau.
So this will quickly be a crisis situation for our farmers in North Carolina if government does not open back up.
The Washington shutdown is also delaying money for farmers in the South and Southeast who saw huge crop losses last year because of Hurricanes Florence and Michael.
There's some breaking news this morning from Washington. Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General overseeing the Russia investigation, expects to leave the job in a matter of weeks. CBS's Paula Reed says it comes just days before Senate hearings on President Trump's nominee for Attorney General William Barr.
I'm told Rosenstein always saw this as about a two-year position, and he wants to help ensure a smooth transition. But the timing is surprising, and it's unclear what this means for the special counsel's investigation. It's expected that Barr would likely inherit oversight of that investigation, but there's no guarantee because his previous very public criticism of that investigation is expected to be a central theme of his confirmation hearing next week.
New information from prosecutors about former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort emerged by accident. It was included in a defense filing and was supposed to have been redacted. We're live this morning with CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
Now, Steve, if the president has said it once, he said it a thousand times.
There was no collision.
But that court filing yesterday offers the first hint that indeed the president's former campaign chairman did share information with an alleged agent of Russian intelligence. The revelation came in a redacted court filing from Paul Manafort's attorneys. Copy the redacted text into another document and you can read what's behind the black lines. Manafort's lawyers point to a heretofore unknown accusation that their client, quote, lied about sharing polling data with Konstantin Kalimnik, a longtime Manafort associate with alleged ties to the Kremlin. Now, that's all the document revealed, but that one sentence, meant to be for the court's eyes only, has touched off a great deal of speculation about what else Robert Mueller's team may have on possible collusion. Steve?
The family of an American Navy veteran reveals he's been held captive in Iran since last summer. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
Michael White is the fourth American to be held by Iran. And while CBS News learned that Iran floated the idea of a prisoner exchange last year, senior administration official tells me that at least one offer made to talk was turned down, and that leaves the fate of all of these Americans unclear.
Phoenix police are taking DNA samples from all male workers at a long-term care facility where a woman who's been in a vegetative state for more than a decade gave birth late last month to a boy. Relatives are taking care of the child. A family attorney says there was neglect and they are outraged. A new documentary series alleging sexual abuse by singer R. Kelly has prompted calls to authorities in Chicago. Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox says she found the Lifetime series deeply disturbing but needs more to go on.
Please come forward. There is nothing that can be done to investigate these allegations without the cooperation of both victims and witnesses. We cannot seek justice without you.
Kelly has denied any wrongdoing. The Sears chairman has till this afternoon to come up with $120 million, a chunk of his multi-billion-dollar financing plan to try to keep the retail chain afloat. An auction next week would put that plan up against liquidators. There are new numbers to digest on a TV streaming sensation.
Turns out Netflix wasn't lying when it said millions had streamed Bird Box in the first week it came out.
Listen to me.
Nielsen, the ratings measurement company, says the Sandra Bullock thriller reached an audience of 26 million in its first 7 days over Christmas. That number is just for the U.S., which is probably why it's a little off from Netflix's number of 45 million accounts watching the flick. Netflix pretty much never gives numbers out, but Nielsen seems to agree that the Bird Box viewership made it the best first 7 days ever for a Netflix film. Matt Piper, CBS News.
From Cleveland Heights, Ohio, comes word of the death of Lessie Brown. At 114, she was believed to be the oldest person in the U.S. Her family says the key to her longevity might have been that she ate a sweet potato every day. And that's the CBS World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.